How do you take down the competition? Napoleon said that you should never interrupt your enemy when he is making a mistake. Whilst P.T. East believed that you should love your enemies, because it makes them so damned mad.
Cold with the flaws, but the meat ain't frosty. Say I'm too smug, but I can't keep him off me. We need this thing, you can see him too saucy. Hashtag legend, man can't keep his face above me.
You might be wondering what in the name of God's earth you are listening to. Well, let me put your curiosity to bed. The track is called Twitter Fingers, and it is the opening song from a rap album released by US fast food chain Wendy's. The album was released last year and is called We Beefin'. It contains tracks like Clownin' and Rest in Peace, as well as a host of insults against the likes of McDonald's, Burger King, and other fast food rivals. Perhaps, in the future, this will be how all brands tear down their rivals. After all, who needs billboard ads and punchy advertorials when you have sick rhymes and a dope beat? However, on this episode of the History of Advertising podcast, we are going back to a time before companies dropped sassy rap albums. We are revisiting the past to see how brands dealt with their direct competitors in the old-fashioned way.
What is a mum? A mum is someone whose work is never done, yet who somehow goes on feeling that it's all worthwhile. A mum is someone who chooses Persil. She knows it's best in her washing machine. The makers told her so. And Persil is right for all her family wash. Persil gets things just that important bit whiter, the bit that shows. To a mother, every mother, whiteness matters. And Persil washes whiter. And it shows.
Washing powders were introduced in the 1880s and were originally just made up of crushed soap bars. There was, quite naturally, a strong demand for more rigorous cleaning agents, and Persil was one of the first big players in the market, having been introduced by Dusseldorf Company in 1907. Persil enjoyed a long period of dominance in the UK market, its success being due in no small part to the campaigns it ran in the 50s and 60s, which targeted mothers. Some ads, like the one we just heard, were all very wholesome, whilst others, like the one we're about to hear, would probably be criticised in this day and age for engaging in a bit of mum-shaming.
I wanted to get to the shops extra early, so I walked with Jimmy on his way to school. Met Mrs. Williams there with her son, Tom. It was then I noticed, well, I'd always thought my whites were white, but her Tom's shirt was much whiter, and you could see she saw the difference too. I noticed she had Persil in her basket. I'll try some of that, I thought, and then I remembered, of course, Persil was the powder the washing machine makers recommended. Not surprising. Talk about whiteness. Next day, I went again with Jimmy. Mrs. Williams and I both use Persil now, but someone's mum still doesn't know that Persil washes whiter, and it shows.
The general moral of the ad is that you better buy Persil or Mrs. Williams will judge you. You don't want to be the scorn of the playground now, do you? Whilst the ad may jar a bit in 2019, there were no such qualms 50 years ago. The Persil, mother-focused campaigns were performing well, and the brand didn't seem to be troubled by the competition. But then, in 1967, along came Ariel.
When Ariel was launched, they launched with probably one of the biggest, if not the biggest, sampling campaign that the country had ever seen. And my recollection, which I'm sure is exaggerated, it was like every other house, probably not in the country, it was probably in the southeast of England, but whatever it was huge.
Judy Lannan, one of the bright lights of Adland in a time where the industry was overrun by men, was an expert researcher. Whilst working for JWT, she provided research for Unilever, the holding company of Persil, at the time when Ariel made a big splash into the market with an extensive sampling campaign.
They sampled with a whole box of Ariel, and so that women would get up in the morning and find that there was a box of Ariel on their doorstep.
Alongside the sampling campaign, Ariel launched a television ad, one which focused on its biological cleaning prowess.
Impossible. Cocoa, gravy, blood. Just impossible.
Not impossible, biological. Biological stains ordinary powders can't wash out.
Nothing can.
Ariel can.
Ariel?
Procter & Gamble's new Ariel washes everything cleaner.
Digests certain stains that ordinary powders leave behind.
Right. Digests. Because Ariel washes biologically. Look, the stains you call impossible. We'll put half in ordinary powder with the machine on, half in Ariel, but with the machine off. See? Washed and still stained. But with Ariel, incredibly clean.
Even before washing.
Now see what happens when you do wash with Ariel.
Those stains, they've gone. Everything's cleaner, cleaner than I ever thought possible.
Prove it yourself. New Ariel washes cleaner because it washes biologically.
Suffice to say, the owners of Persil were shaken by this threat.
This sent Unilever into a frenzy, of course, and they were tremendously concerned about how to combat this. And there was always the tension about Persil, which was about motherhood and about soft clothes and kindness and caring, and how much stain removal should be in the story. And when biological Ariel was introduced, Unilever were absolutely convinced that they should react aggressively. Persil has more stain removers. Persil is stronger.
However, it is rarely a wise move to chase blindly after the competition. Judy ran several research groups for Unilever to help them understand how to deal with the new threat of Ariel.
What was psychologically fascinating, or culturally fascinating, anthropologically fascinating, was that all the while I'd been doing Persil advertising research, there was something very smug about Persil users. They would say, yes, of course, we only use Persil. There was a kind of status superiority of women who used Persil because it was the definition of motherhood and good family hygiene and loving care and so forth. And all of a sudden, Ariel turns up. And women quite logically thought, this must be better because why would they give away a whole box if it isn't really, really good? And the Persil women were really quite stunned by this and really rather put down by the fear that their status was being encroached on. And I'm exaggerating slightly, but only slightly. I mean, in those days, keeping house, washing clothes, being a housewife and a good mother was critical. And it was very important to most women's status.
The Persil women were shaken. Their place at the top of the table was being called into question. But thankfully, a revelation during one of Judy's research groups provided a solution.
In those days, too, the copywriter would always come and sit with the group. The Persil writer was a woman, and she always came. She was fascinated by all this. The woman in the group said, well, it was really funny because I had some Ariel in the house because it was given to us, and my husband put his paintbrushes in it, and he pulled the paintbrushes out, and all the bristles fell out. And the Persil women came alive and came and said, aha, we knew this. But the point of this story is that the copywriter was shrewd enough to realize that there was a real vulnerability in Ariel, and the worst thing to do would be to combat it by trying to be more Ariel than Ariel. But really, the only response to that was to be more Persil than Persil. So that, from an advertising standpoint, was, I suppose, proof, or evidence rather, illustration of how useful these groups can be, because that came out so spontaneously, and it was such a big insight. They then recovered really quite successfully.
It can be tempting, when faced with a feisty new competitor, to feel a need to firefight and abandon your own strategy in order to compete with the shiny new offering. But instead of trying to beat your enemy at their own game, it's often the wiser move to preserve your own brand and to shout louder about what makes you fantastic rather than what makes them not. So, that's how you deal with the competition when you're an established brand facing a wily challenger. But how do you do it when it's the other way round? Tune in to our next episode when we'll be hearing from one of the all-time greats of Adland and the self-proclaimed expert of helping brands in trouble, Mr. Dave Trott. The History of Advertising podcast was presented by Jack Maggot Phillips and featured contributions from Judy Lannan. The programme was produced by Jane Jarvis and Jack Maggot Phillips. If you're interested in learning more about the ads featured on this programme and the work of the History of Advertising Trust, please visit hatads.org.uk.